Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast. Each week, we have a theme, and we talk about some movies. This week, the theme is summer blockbusters, the year you graduated from high school. We selected Howard the Duck and Iron Man, so we got a nice little Marvel synergy going on here for our blockbuster discussion. We're available everywhere podcasts are, so leave a review and a rating on whatever audio platform you use, especially if it's iTunes or CastBox or Spotify. We're on some other ones as well. We have a website, podcastnamedtim.com, and a website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. We want all those things. Check us out. We're on the YouTubes. We got a video version of this podcast if you want to look at our pretty faces. Also, we have Power Rangers reviews, Star Wars stuff, books and shows, and just a lot of other little fun things. I'm Zach. Dad, how are you today? Good, sir.
Fantastic.
Well, good. Dad is good to hear. Well, I can confirm as of yesterday, one, it is summer because it's hot, and went to Water Country yesterday, and two, the pandemic is, I don't know if it's over, like actually over, but I think in people's minds, it is done. I've never seen so many people. They put a big old sign and a thing to block you out of the parking lot. It said the parking lot was full, and on the main road, a very main road where people are driving 55, 60 miles an hour, there were people parked on the side of the road, like lots of them, and then parking and then walking into the park to try and get in. So I think the pandemic is over.
Like you said, in people's minds.
In people's minds.
Since the numbers are doubling with unvaccinated people right now.
Ooh, yeah, there was lots of people at the Water Country.
I'm sure they were all masked.
Well, they don't have any rules like that there.
Yeah, so
it was fine in the morning, but when we got to the afternoon, lunchtime, a little bit after that, I mean, it did not help that, like, I think two rides were down, but there were so many places where you would go, and it was like a line 30 deep of people waiting to grab an inner tube to go wait in line.
Now, I wonder if they were down or if they just don't have staffing.
One of them I know is down because they are, I think, adding on to it, a building onto it. The other one, I don't know.
When we went to dinner Thursday night, because Thursday can be hit or miss up here in Williamsburg, Virginia, because of the tourist season now with picking up. They told us it'd be a 45-minute to an hour wait at a Red Lobster. We're not getting paid for anything, so I can say it. And it was very, it didn't look busy, the parking lot was like, So we assumed it was staffing, and it was, because when we actually finally got a seat, which only took about 20, 25 minutes, the restaurant was empty. I mean, it was just, they couldn't seat triple seat people, the waitress that wouldn't be able to keep up.
Right.
So they were just having to really space it out. But it was a pretty empty restaurant so I asked the lady, I said, is it staffing? She said, it's completely staffing. So we luckily have cooks. We have people in the back, but waitresses, they had some lady from the back of the house doing seating. And boy, you could tell. Mm. Me being 30 years in the restaurant business, there's a certain, the back of the house don't all, are put in there sometimes because they don't exactly have to be out in front of the public. She had a little bit of a toot.
Got it.
So we let it slide because I understand things are getting back, trying to get back to normal. But yeah, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, well, that's my life.
I watched Space Jam 2, A New Legacy. I know you have not watched it yet. It's a little long. It's a little slow in parts, but I got what I wanted. I got Basketball Star and some Looney Tunes. And they certainly expanded on it to include the full breadth of the WB family. They were all included.
Okay.
If you want to look, go ahead and look at it as a commercial for HBO Max and all the things you can watch, you can certainly see that that is partly the case. But
I haven't watched it yet. I might watch it today, actually.
There were some funny jokes. Mr. James, King James, excuse me, not Mr. King James.
Is that what he goes by?
I don't know if that's what his nickname is.
I mean, that's what he goes by in the movie, right?
No, he goes by LeBron and stuff. Yeah, not the greatest actor, you know, but, you know, Michael wasn't either.
Michael's terrible.
And there was a couple of good jokes and one excellent, excellent joke.
Is Bill Murray in it?
Bill Murray is not in it.
Got him out. I don't play defense.
Yeah, no Bill Murray, but I liked it. I know a lot of people are crapping on it. Look, it was fun entertainment. And
well, you knew people are gonna crap on it.
Well, I mean, as much as Space Jam, the original, was such a time capsule of the way movies were made and Michael and the time, this is very much a time capsule of, let's just overload your sensory overload of stuff, because that's gotcha. How movies are made now.
So how about Space Jam 3?
Who's going to be in it? Bronny Jr.?
Did you read the article I sent you?
Oh, no, I did not. I saw the headline. I didn't read it, though.
Well, The Rock.
But
he's not. Which would be dumb because he's not a basketball player.
Yeah, just do another sport. Do the airball.
Call it Space Slam. It'd be a wrestling movie.
I'm down for that.
Okay, I'm not. All right, well.
I'd be down for that.
Miss The Rock.
Yeah, do the Airbud thing. You know, hit up all the sports.
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go. All right.
Yeah. So,
stop before you get to the downhill skiing monkey. What was that MVP or not? Hockey movie.
I can't remember.
Anyway.
So yeah, I watched that. I was going to watch Gamera, the original, but I was late. And subtitles weren't doing it for me at that time, so I was tired.
It was blurry.
Yeah. So that is what I watched this week. What about you?
Well, I've continued on my watching people getting killed. So it's just my hobby.
Yeah.
I won't even name them. If it's a documentary and it's got some woman to kill some man or vice versa, I watched it probably. Alex and I are almost done with Office,
mm-hmm.
and we've already decided we're going to rewatch some stuff. So, I started something. I needed, you know, like you need mac and cheese to eat sometimes.
Yeah.
That comfort. There's comfort food, and I have comfort shows. And my number one comfort show, which I haven't actually watched in about 10 years, is Dallas.
Yeah.
So I restarted Dallas. And I've already watched the first like 5 episodes, and I'm just feeling all JR-ish.
Right, okay.
It just makes me all giddy. Okay. Of course, Amy does not watch that show with me because she hates the way because I cheer for JR and she hates JR. So we kind of I start overly pumping up how great he is, how his decisions were the best. It causes a little tension.
Right.
We watched last night with Alex and I and Amy. We watched The Quiet Place 2.
And how was that?
Well, it was a bit confusing at first because I guess it starts before, throws you a little cold opening.
Yeah.
Before it started, which you could kind of tell, except for I had a question. And maybe I need to watch the first one again because I don't remember exactly if they explained when things started and how things went to hell or if it just kind of... Because if I remember correctly, when the first scene of the first one, it's already in full mode and they're sneaking around in the store trying to get stuff. And so anyway, this one starts at a baseball game with everything normal. Things go to hell. And this is only like a 10 to 12 minute scene. It's done very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The aliens are all of a sudden attacking this town. And here was my question, or my problem with it. It seemed like, and I'm sorry, I can't remember John, his character's name in it. The dad and the deaf girl seem to already know what's going on, because they don't seem to have any shocked look.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they're like, oh God, we got to get away from this, but it's not like what? I mean, for a moment, wouldn't you be like, what in the hell is that?
Right. Right.
Plus, they seem to already know that they got to be quiet, because they're all of a sudden running to a diner, and he's doing his best to make her be quiet. Which, okay, you would be quiet if a creature was coming,
yeah.
But not to the way he was doing it, to even run over and put your hand on someone else's mouth and tell them to stop. He seemed like he already had that knowledge that these things know sound.
Mm.
And so it was kind of confusing. I didn't really understand that. And then it jumps to right after the other one.
Yeah.
And continues from there. They got too many directions in this.
Right.
Whereas the other one was all right here. Everything took place right here. Now we're deciding we need to branch out and have a little something here and a little something here and a little something over here. It was too much to keep. It was too much.
Okay.
It needed to stay. And it wasn't a bad movie. It was, you know, if you like the first one, watch it. And you definitely won't like it as much as the first one. I mean, there was some really unnecessary weird. They tried to throw in an apocalyptic feel. This is only, you know, you got the people, the way the people are acting different during this, which does happen. But it was in just one little scene, and it really wasn't very dynamic. It was kind of stupid, so it really didn't make any sense. Could have just left that out. But anyway. Then I watched Gunpowder Milkshake.
And yay, nay?
Definitely wanted to be John Wick.
Okay. I think a lot of movies do now.
Didn't hit it as good as Nobody. Nobody's okay. Still a fantastic poor man's John Wick.
Right.
Admittedly, if I wasn't a Karen Gillan mark, I probably wouldn't have liked it as much as I ended up liking it. It's a little artsy.
Okay.
Does have some great scenes in it. Got some kicking ass good killing scenes. Not enough. It takes a little long. It's got a little parts where it's a little long. It was okay. It's a very mediocre. It's not as good as that.
Okay.
But well, I'm not saying to watch it, but it was
right. Yeah. Well, let's. I have lots of things to say about one of these movies. So yeah, let's.
I have very little to say about either one. So.
Well, don't worry. I will. I will carry the load.
Good. Good. Good.
But to put us on the back. Let's go ahead and start with Howard the Duck, since it is chronologically the first one, and the one that I think I have the most to say about. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. So Howard the Duck came out in 1986. This was your selection, came out the year you graduated from high school. It is a PG rating, 1 hour and 50-minute runtime, a 4.7. On IMDb, a 14 on the tomato meter, and a 38 from the audience score. It is, of course, widely regarded as one of the biggest flops in movie history, because you know, it's attached to executive producer George Lucas, who, you know, he's made some good movies, he's produced some good movies. This was not one of them. It is about, you know, a duck who from a duck world brought to our planet, and he's trying to get back home. A lot of 80s feel, a lot of punk rock and crazy science and just other fun things in some respects. I get why this could have a cult following, because I know it's developed somewhat of one. I like the movie poster. I like Duck World. I like that idea, and I like the bits there. We actually wish we would have spent more time there before immediately coming here. And before you, I get to your thoughts and my full on just discussion about the movie being made, why is Leah Thompson's career just, I'm going to be put in weird situations where I'm trying to fuck somebody I'm not supposed to be fucking?
And that actually would have made the movie better.
That was the best scene of the movie, was that weird
the
scene.
The tension of that. Oh, my God, no.
That scene and the opening where they were in Duck World were the two best parts of the movie. The rest of it just happened. But go ahead, tell me about this movie. First of all, before you tell me your thoughts, you said that last week that there was a huge buildup, like marketing-wise. Like, what was that like?
This thing started, I'm assuming it was a year before this, and you started seeing the teasers the summer before, and it was just so blown up. You couldn't turn the TV on or go to a movie without seeing trailers for Howard the Duck. And I don't remember, I wish I could remember if the trailers were very teaser or if they actually showed real scenes. But it was anticipated. It was a big deal. And
people thought it was going to be good?
Well, yeah, George Lucas and it's Howard the Duck. I mean, it's going to be an awesome movie.
Did people know who Howard the Duck was as a...
No. Oh, well, okay. No one in my circle knew who that was. Howard the Duck. Didn't know that was a cartoon. I'm sure some people maybe did some research to find that out. But no, not really. I guess we're just hoping for a... I don't know what we're hoping for. Maybe just a really fun... I don't know. I really don't know. I don't remember at the time. It's been too far back to remember what my thoughts were. I don't remember if I saw it on opening weekend. Probably.
Did you go to the theater?
Kind of what I did. Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure I went with your mom. Yeah. That would have been the time. And probably Scott. Scott was probably tagging with us. I know we've left very few movies... We did not leave this one.
Okay.
We should have. We didn't stick this one out. I just remember it was so bad, I don't think it was even discussed after. It was just like, well, that was just terrible, and just moved on.
Right.
Watched it again years later to see if maybe, you know, I was 17 and just didn't, that wasn't to my taste, and maybe I missed something. I mean, George Lucas wouldn't have put his name on something so shitty. No, it was, and I don't think I made it through it the whole time. That time, it was just garbage. I don't know how that ever got made. I don't know. I guess that it got made because of the name attached to it. You know, I'm George Lucas, and that's what I'm making. And oh, okay, but I can't imagine. That's another one of those times where I just can't imagine. People sat in the room and watched that and then were happy with it and put that on the screen. Because it's just, does he really? I don't think he'll talk. I don't think he talks about this movie.
I'm
tired of being asked about it, but I'd like to find an early time where he was actually asked, you know, what the hell?
So, as I was watching it, a lot of thoughts ran through my mind about, just like you said, like how this got made. Universal, apparently the not only George but the other people involved, the writer and the director, had all gone to film school together. I think some of them had worked together on American Graffiti, and during or right after American Graffiti, George had pitched them on this idea. I guess he'd read the comic and enjoyed it. It sounds like the comic was much more satirical, and Howard was much more of an asshole. And they obviously inverted that character a lot. I think there's a lot of movies. I think this movie it was made at the wrong time, for one. Because.
When would have been the right time?
Now? Yeah, because. Think about like a Deadpool, for example. I think you can make an asshole superhero movie. Now, or comic.
Okay, so you're saying this character now, but not this movie.
No. This character, you can do a Howard the Duck movie and be more true to what the comic was supposed to be now to maybe make a better movie. And I think people would get it more now.
It needs Ricky Gervais' voice.
That was another thing. I didn't think the voice acting for Howard the Duck was good at all.
The voice was horrible.
Yeah, it was boring and bland. I saw John Cusack.
One-liners were terrible.
Yeah, John Cusack, Martin Short, and Robin Williams all tried to go for it. I don't think any of them would have pulled it off. I don't know who I would cast for it. Out of all of those, maybe actually John Cusack. But because Martin Short and Robin Williams, you're going to get them.
Well, yeah.
And I don't know if they were.
Jerry Seinfeld.
That would have worked.
What's the deal with this planet?
So this was the first. So like I said, Universal, for some reason, George Lucas liked this comic. Universal said, well, we passed on George Lucas last time. Let's not make the mistake this time. And so they gave him the movie, which is always a terrible business practice. It has happened multiple times. Don't do that. If it's a bad script, it's a bad script. So if it's a bad idea, it's a bad idea. But I get that this happens. I have a pitch for the movie that should have been made.
Okay.
This was the first Marvel movie. This is the first that was this, and we didn't have another one until 1998 when Blade came out, and then there was another gap when we started the actual cinematic universe with Iron Man. But there was another Marvel property that was made into a serial in 1944. That's Captain America. George Lucas has proven he has been successful with serials. He likes the Indiana Jones serials. He likes the Buck Rogers serials. He right. likes World War II and the World War fighting sequences. The 80s would have been the perfect time for the Cold War nostalgia thoughts. If you would have given him, I think, a Captain America movie because of the serial, because of his love for those World War movies, and his success with serials, and because of it being in the 80s, I think a Captain America movie by George Lucas would have been a better time capsule or movie to do at that time. And he was a better known character. Even even if he had done Spider-Man. Because he was so focused on those archetype characters like Luke Skywalker, the whiny teen who becomes a hero. I think he would have done better with a Spider-Man movie. I just don't think a Howard the Duck movie was the right one to do at the time. But I really do think that Captain America would have been the right choice. I don't understand why this is PG.
Well, we didn't have PG-13.
You did. I looked it up. Red Dawn was 2 years before this.
Oh, okay.
So we had PG-13. You had a cigar-smoking, drunkard, foul-mouthed, duck. You had duck tits in the movie that showed up.
Which didn't make any sense at all. Since ducks are always clothes.
I know. You had Play Duck. You had all the other aspects of this movie. You had the big, the monster and its like serpent tongue thing coming out of its mouth. This should have been PG-13, and they should have leaned into that more, because that would have helped.
Possibly, yeah.
This movie did give us one good thing.
What's that?
So George Lucas had spent $50 million on building Skywalker Ranch.
Oh, yeah. I saw this.
And he was banking on this movie being a success so that he could pay off some of his debt. It did not become a success. It made a whole $1 million more than its budget. And because of that, his good friend Steve Jobs offered to pay him above market value to help out his buddy. the Lucasfilm CGI animation division. Of course, he took the money, helping out a buddy, and this division became Pixar Animation. So, thank you, Howard the Duck, for giving us Pixar, which, of course, has revolutionized movies and is one of the best studios to make movies, period. Yes. I wish there would have been more film noir elements, because you could see that vibe. I know the comic took place in Cleveland, but I thought this would have worked better in L.A. and leaning more into those L.A. noir vibes.
Yeah, I thought that's where it was going at first.
And that would have been fine. It would have been better. I don't think that a foul-mouthed alien duck from another universe who's like this weird, not really a hero, could work. But you gotta stick that landing.
You gotta work for it.
There is a very small platform to land on to stick that landing. And I actually like the animatronics. I thought the suit looked good.
That wasn't bad.
I thought it emoted well. But I was just so bored. Also, this should not have been 2 hours long. I mean, this should have been an hour and a half. What do you have any other thoughts?
Well, I forgot Tim Robbins was in it.
Ugh.
And boy, Jeffrey Jones had a weird summer, didn't he? He was in Howard the Duck and Ferris Bueller. So I'm sure that's exactly what he said each time. He said, so this Howard the Duck is only when I'm in Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. I think Tim Robbins was interviewed about it, and he said, I got paid a lot of money. I wasn't a big star yet. I got paid twice because we had to work so much overtime. And I got to work with George Lucas at the time. So it was like, all right, this is great.
I can't really find anything to, I don't know. It was so just bad. I don't know. Totally took me out of movie watching. While I was watching it.
I just want to hear why George Lucas liked this comic so much. I just want to understand why he's fascinated, because I get why he made American Graffiti. I get why he went and made Star Wars. I get why he made Indiana Jones. He had a passion for those projects, and it showed. I just want to know what about this comic made him want to make it. That's all I want.
I thought he was being clever. And bringing us something new, and I don't know. I mean, he's a strange guy. You ever listen to interviews with him?
Yeah,
he's pretty bizarre with his thoughts and stuff. So
this just didn't seem like it fit into his wheelhouse.
I mean, I just remember when he wrote Star Wars or A New Hope, it had nothing. It wasn't a space odyssey. It was about two robots. The original idea was just writing about these two robots adventures, and it kind of came something more. So,
And went through lots of rewrites and lots of rewrites.
Yeah, so, dude, who knows?
He's
just not as... And he brought us Jar Jar Binks. So.
Yeah. It is, I think we mentioned this last week, it won... At the 1987 Razzies, it won Worst Picture, Worst Screenplay, Worst New Star, Worst Visual Effects, and it also was a nominee. I don't think it won Worst Picture of the Decade.
Well, I thought it won that.
I do not believe it did.
What won that? Ishtar?
I just saw Worst Actor was at the 90 ones was Will Shatner for The Final Frontier. Who's also Worst Director. Let's see. What one?
They need to take that back.
It says Worst Picture.
Let us fight words.
Worst Picture of the Decade. Here were the nominees. You can tell me what you think won. Let's see. Star Trek The Final Frontier. Bolero. The Lonely Lady, Howard the Duck, and Mommy Dearest.
Mommy Dearest.
It did, which we have reviewed.
And we love. I love Mommy
Dearest. I liked Mommy Dearest.
Bolero is horrible. It's a reason for Bo Derek to be naked. Her husband, right. John Derek, put her on the screen and put her naked. Tried to make those novels that women read, Harlequin romances. Like some kind of Lonely Lady. That one I don't remember.
It stars. I don't know a lot of these names, but yes. So we have covered two of the worst movies of the decade for 1980, and not, we like the winner more than this.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I watch Mommy Dearest anytime it's on.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. Yeah, I yeah, it just. And I, of all the properties that you would greenlit, because I get making a superhero movie at this point. Superman had been a success.
Right.
And I get Marvel because, obviously there was the Star Wars comics. They Marvel handled the comics for them. So I get why he wanted, I get all the connections. But why Howard the Duck out of all the properties that they had? As your first
one. We will never know.
As your first one you're going to do.
Actually, there is a documentary that I almost watched, but I didn't want anything to change my mind about this movie. And the documentary is actually like almost like a 7-point rating.
Oh, my. Okay.
So it was done like in 2009, maybe.
Okay.
It's called Remembering Howard the Duck. So it's got interviews with them.
Speaking of documentaries, I heard about one that I'm going to try and find out. I think it's called 24 by 36. It is a documentary about movie posters.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah. Someone had mentioned that the other day. Well, let's go ahead and hop to my movie selection, which was Iron Man. It came out in 2008. PG-13 rating, 2-hour-and-6-minute runtime, of course, directed by one Jon Favreau, who seems to know how to make good movies. Stars Robert Downey Jr., Terrence Howard, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jeff Bridges, etc. Of course, this is, I should say, 7.9 on IMDb, a 94 on the tomato meter, and a 91 from the audience score. It is the movie that
It
kicked off the Marvel Universe. It is, since this movie came out, Marvel has been beating DC in every shape, form, and way you can. It's just been an utter beatdown. I'm not saying there's not been bad Marvel movies. There have been, including in the Iron Man, lineage. But, it's weird. I'll let you go first, but what did you think of Iron Man?
I mean, it was hard to watch it again because I like it. It's an action movie. It was a good blockbuster movie. It was a good superhero movie, and everybody did their part. It made me feel good. It was kind of hard to review this one. It was Iron Man. I liked Robert Downey got picked for it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a better Tony Stark than he is an Iron Man.
Oh.
I don't know what that means, but that's what pops in my head.
Okay.
Iron Man, okay. I love him as Tony Stark. It was what it was. Pepper was good. Jeff Bridges, I liked him being
I love Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, I like Jeff Bridges.
I like bald Jeff.
I like the new chrome dome Jeff Bridges. That was cool looking. The story, I can follow the story. Made sense. Had what I expected from Iron Man. So, I don't know. Not sure where. You seem like you had secret gems and stuff to.
No, I think I had all my gems were saved for Howard the Duck this week.
No, but even when you picked this, you said you had stuff to talk about. So
Well, I mean, the main thing was just the fascinating aspect of this time capsule of 2008, because that summer, I said this was the second, you know, highest grossing summer blockbuster that year behind The Dark Knight, which right. obviously has been lauded by critics and fans alike. I think it's a little overrated, but you had the pinnacle of DC films. They never got any higher than that. That was it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you just had Marvel, like I said, you know, you had Blade in 1998, you had Howard the Duck in 86, and that was it. You know, Marvel had a couple TV shows, and X-Men was kind of its own thing. Yeah. But just that weird time capsule of, all right, we're going to start this universe. And then, like I said, 4 years later, in 2012, when I graduated college, you had the next Dark Knight Rises. And you had, you know, the Avengers. And by that point, they had been overtaken. And you just had this huge, the new buzzword of the day is cinematic universe.
Right.
That everyone wants to replicate and do. And this is where it started. I just think, I don't know if we all, part of it is with Jon Favreau doing this. Maybe there's the reasons why. I am surprised that Disney did not hand the keys over to him to launch Star Wars. Because when you watch this and think about what superhero movies have become, every cliche and everything you need to hit, it's this movie. This movie defined that genre. I mean, there have been however many movies. You got the way the origin is, the way the hero, their arc, the final battle, how they structure all of the movies, how they shoot the movies.
Right.
The big, you know, laser beam at the end of the movie. Any Marvel movie that has been made is just them copying the Iron Man formula again and again and again. And I am surprised after he launched this venture for them that was so successful that they didn't give him the keys to that again, knowing he was a huge Star Wars fan and knowing that he had the secret sauce to say, I can distill a superhero movie down to its core of what it needs to be. Why not let him do Star Wars again?
Maybe they really just wanted to keep them separate.
I guess. If people trust all these other directors all these time because of things they've done, people give George Lucas the keys to the castle to make whatever he wants to make when he makes, you know, you want to make Howard the Duck? Sure. Yeah. Jon Favreau made the standard in some respects as far as what to expect from a superhero movie. And you're not and make you billions and billions and billions of dollars, and you buy a new property, and you're not going to trust them again.
Right.
I mean, they trusted him with Lion King, I guess, but I mean, I'm shocked. And it's, and my point is, look at what he's done now with Mandalorian.
Right.
And distilling Star Wars down to some of the best Star Wars we've seen.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, I just wanted to wax poetic about Mr. Favreau, basically. But obviously, this movie is kind of an ancillary weird thing. But obviously, Terrence Howard was supposed to be War Machine. Conceptual stuff got in the way, and we got Don Cheadle. Do you think it's better?
Whoa. Contractual stuff?
Yeah, didn't Terrence wanted more money, right, for the sequels?
Oh, okay. I started contractual. That was a nice way to say it. I heard he was an asshole.
Oh. I thought he wanted more money, yeah, and wanted to be
more
top
money, but I thought he went about it the wrong way, too. He was kind of a hard to get along with, kind of.
Do you think the other movie, I'm not saying that would have been better, because he was War Machine, such a minor character. Should they have found a way to keep Terrence Howard on instead of switching to Don Cheadle? I guess is my question.
I don't think Don Cheadle's, I don't think either one of them's the right way for it.
Okay.
Don Cheadle seems too old and fragile. Terrence Howard, just something about him doesn't seem to fit this. Now, I don't know who. I don't have somebody lined up.
Yeah.
Let's go with Michael Brown.
Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan. There you go.
Put him in another superhero movie.
Why not? No, yeah. I don't know. I'm sure they could have found somebody if they wanted to stick with that, which I don't even know. I don't really know War Machine's character. So
I don't know any. This is, I mean, and it's weird.
Was he African American even in the comics? Or was
I don't know. Or
was that
I
just
really
a diversity
don't.
Choice that they decided to make? So if they, I don't know if they were wanting to stick definitely to that choice or if that was just, hey, let's diversify the movie a little bit.
What was also interesting, I think, about this movie is that I don't know if, and I get Tony Stark in the beginning of the movie is supposed to be an asshole. But the way they displayed him being an asshole, I don't know if that would work in today's media.
I'm total, I don't understand what you mean, Tony Stark.
Just the way that, just all the stuff they did with the portrayal of women and his...
Tony Stark's a rich, misogynistic, spoiled guy.
Right, I understand that. And I think, I'm not saying they wouldn't have tried to get that across. I think if you tried to make this movie today, it would have been toned down a lot. And I think today's movie-going audience would have had a hard time seeing him become the hero.
You know what? You can't make a heel making a face. If you want a heel, it's got to be a heel.
I'm not disagreeing with you. It was interesting.
Wake, woke, and diversify and all that mess. They can't take away characters. You know, they can take away hateful language and stuff like that, but there are people that act a certain way. All right.
Yeah, I mean, he...
You have to have it. If he was a nice guy, I would kind of totally... Tony Stark was a little wimpy, nice, kissy-kissy person. He'd be lame.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have got shit done.
Yeah.
There would be no Avengers.
There would be no Avengers. I know you said, you already kind of already said this, but what a perfect casting.
Yeah.
I mean, just one of the best casting.
I'm glad he got his act together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really liked him early on, but boy, he took a turn there for a while. But I'm glad he got his shit together.
Well, I was about to say, we should also say, like, it may seem like a no-brainer now, but at the time, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. in a superhero movie is kind of a weird...
Yeah.
That's a weird thing.
I wonder who else was planned for this. I'm sure this was full of auditions by wanting to get a hold of this.
I don't think I've ever seen or read,
you know, other people heroes.
I don't think Iron Man. I don't think I had either, but I mean, how many people?
Thank goodness Favreau didn't put his buddy Vince Vaughn in it.
I mean, but how many people wanted to be in a superhero movie at this time?
Who wouldn't want to be in a superhero movie?
Yeah, but at this time, I would assume. Oh, here we go. I see it right here. Oh, both of these were terrible. Are you ready?
Yeah.
According to Jon Favreau, Clive Owen and Sam Rockwell were considered.
All right, now Sam Rockwell, if he was a little tall, he's a little short, but Robert's short, but he doesn't look it in the movie. Well,
no.
I don't know. Sam Rockwell seems like kind of a small character, but Sam Rockwell is a really good actor.
You might be
able to pull it off with a goatee. You know, you got to have that evil goatee. Sam Rockwell, I don't want and would not have been as good as Robert, but I'm not totally horrified.
It also says on here that Hugh Jackman was offered the role.
What's with all these little guys? I guess they need to get those suits.
That's right. No, look, Hugh Jackman was born to play one role.
You know who needed to play this? Iron Man and War Machine. Who do you need to play it?
Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
The Rock and Kevin Hart.
Absolutely.
That's my answer to everything now. You know, Alex and I look at each other like Rock and Kevin Hart. That's what we need to play this.
That is, I wish, I mean, I know they've made a lot of movies. The two of them need to make more.
They need to make them making something else.
They need to make more movies together because those two are just magic. Damn. But no, Hugh Jackman was born to play one role, and it's Wolverine.
Yeah, I don't want to see any one from this universe playing dual roles.
Well,
that's not the way it works.
That was a weird situation at the time because Fox had,
that's true. But I forget about all that crap.
Yeah, we own this, but you own this, and the, you know.
Because
yeah, it was what a. Because what Disney owned Marvel, but Sony had the rights to movies featuring, I think almost anything featuring Spider-Man.
Right.
But then Fox had all the mutants and X-Men stuff, so there was like three pots of stuff that they had to. Well, if we want these people, we got to do this. And,
yeah, it's silly.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's the biggest thing I can say about this movie that I've already harped on is that I think that it is just the template. It is just such a well executed and made movie because you got the moment where, you know, Tony Stark doesn't want the heart that he made originally,
right.
And you're going, oh, I know that's going to be used later because I know this is a well-made movie.
That's right.
And just all those little cues, it had all the perfect, like, we're going to hit to the audience, this is going to happen, and then we're going to do it.
Yeah,
and
Favreau does good foreshadowing. He always does.
It was just perfectly executed. And
if they just had not made Iron Man 3.
I don't remember much about Iron Man 2. Much
Iron Man 2 is not a not great. It's not as good as the first, of course. It's an acceptable sequel to move on. Then they should have let him just move on to the Avengers. But Iron Man 3 is absolutely horrendous.
I don't know.
Civil War's not bad.
I don't know if I've seen Iron Man 3 now that I'm thinking about it.
Don't worry with it. Pretend it is not in the universe.
It does not exist.
This is not the movie you're looking for.
That's right. Yeah, I just very interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, there's not a whole lot to say about any of the Marvel movies. You either like them or you don't. I like them all. That means I think they're all good. But I like big old superhero movies just because I can sit back, make my popcorn, watch some superheroes ass-kicking, pretend like I'm still a teenager, those are cool, and move on. I don't have to think about them afterwards. I admit that these last couple of Avengers have been a little shady for me, but you know, I still watch them.
Right.
I move on.
Well, I do have a story here. I'm sure this is disputed. I'm sure there's lots of nerds who can argue this, but obviously there's always been a big question about superheroes. Is Tony Stark or Bruce Wayne who has more of the money? And I found an article right here.
I would say Tony Stark.
According to the British Bank, I guess they did some kind of study of some sort, Batman is richer than Iron Man.
All right.
So.
Well, you know why? Because Tony Stark spends his more. He just throws it around like crazy.
I would assume that part of the issue is Batman probably has better. Bruce Wayne Industries probably has more diversified portfolio of money than is just making war.
And Stark sells to the military. And if you can charge the military, $10,000 for a toilet seat.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that worked.
Yeah.
I need to see these figures.
Let's see. Yeah, let's look at this bank account.
I need a breakdown. I'm not buying this. I think Tony Stark is richer.
Okay. Well, I think this was an interesting week. I was happy to look at this contrast of movies, and I'm happy
I'm sorry I did that to you, but
no, it got me thinking, like I said, a lot about, like, why was this made?
Yeah.
And just so.
And now, I could have taken the easy road and gave you one of those other great blockbusters. But
That's fun. Well,
that wouldn't have been any fun.
If I remember correctly, we had talked about last week, or we had talked offline about next week being iconic duos as a gimmick. So,
which I immediately hated when after I mentioned it.
I thought it was a great gimmick.
I got really confused.
Director, look, combos, director and actor, yeah. Actors that work together, characters that are together.
I should have pinpointed it more, but I didn't, so we'll just move on because I've already got my movie picked.
I've got my movie picked too. I hope it's not the same thing, but go ahead.
Well, maybe you should go first.
I'll go first. Okay.
So I'm going to do this to you because it needs to be done. The Band-Aid needs to be ripped off.
Okay.
And it fits perfectly with the
we might be thinking about the same movie, but go ahead.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
An iconic director.
Oh no, go ahead.
His muse.
Maybe we are thinking about the same movie.
In every movie.
Okay, go ahead.
The one movie you have not watched of this duo.
Okay.
It's on Netflix now. It's from 2015.
Okay, we're not thinking of the same movie, but go ahead.
It won an Academy Award for Best Original Music. It also won the BAFTA for Best Original Music. The beginning letter of it is on your hat right now.
Is it The Hateful Eight?
It is.
Okay, good. I'm glad you picked that.
I was so far, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to force him to watch this finally.
Woo! All right, I'll have to set aside 5 hours.
It's only 2:47.
I know. Oh, yeah.
First, because I started thinking, that's not a 4-hour movie, because I'm not going to do that to him. And I saw it was less than that Lawrence of Arabia shit, so I was like, all right, well.
Well, I was choosing between two movies. For this iconic movie duo, the one I wanted to pick, I'd already seen before and I couldn't find. So I'm gonna pick the one I haven't.
What was the one you were gonna pick?
Well, if I say it, you're gonna know who it is. I was gonna pick, but that's okay. I'll tell you, I was going to pick Dogma.
Okay. Instead, you went with Good Will Hunting.
Instead, I went with Good Will Hunting.
I almost went with that. That's why.
I've never seen it. And obviously, there are a few iconic duos like Matt Damon.
It's wicked good.
And Ben Affleck. So, Good Will Hunting and The Hateful Eight. This is going to be a great movie, a week of movies, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I went back and forth between, you know, dynamic duo type stuff and then actors that acted together so much. I wanted like an older movie. We haven't done any black and white movies in a while.
That's true.
I thought about, let me do a Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn movie because they made tons of movies together. And, you know, I wanted to stay away from Martin and Lewis because they're so hard to.
Yeah.
They don't make an interesting podcast because they're funny as they're not. They're saying they don't. But,
yeah.
But I just kept going. And then finally, all of a sudden, I thought, I'm not an actor and someone he works on. And it's like, oh. Quentin Tarantino, that he hasn't seen The Hateful Eight. There we go.
There you go. Because
that is the last one of his you haven't seen, right?
That is the last one. That is the only one I have not seen.
I just wanted you to check that box off. So.
And I'm
looking forward to seeing it again, too, because, you know, I've kind of had mixed reviews, mixed thoughts on it.
Okay.
So.
When you had pitched the idea to me, the first idea was Ben Affleck and Bad Damon, and I think Good Will Hunting was one of the first ones that came to my mind. But then I was like, oh, I love Dogma. I think Dogma is the best Kevin Smith movie. And I love the two of them in that. I figured Good Will Hunting. And also, Dogma is not available anywhere for streaming, which is weird.
Mallrats.
I mean, Mallrats is, and Clerks is, and Clerks 2, but no Dogma. What's up with that?
The Catholic Church. So, no.
I love Dogma.
It's in the vault. You know what I should have done now? Should have done Final Frontier.
Well, you can't do any Star Trek movies because those are how we kick off the beginning of every season.
Well, not Final Frontier. Oh, that's right. We're going in order. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah, we're going in order. Next year, we'll be doing 4. What's 4 again? I'm just kidding.
The whales.
The whales, yeah.
There'll be whales.
What's the name of the movie, though?
Voyage Home?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Double dumbass on you.
So, I am looking.
Fox says that in that movie.
I can't wait.
Says double.
I've never seen it. Double, you know, dumbass on you. I've never seen 4.
You are in for a treat. I am one of the people that likes 4. I don't think there's anything wrong with 4. It is a bridge. It is because, you know, there's that whole era is bridges because we had to kill Spock off, then we had to go search for him, and now we've got to retrain him to getting back to the original Spock. So they kind of did. So it's just kind of like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like one adventure from another to another, and they just keep going. And then they kind of get settled into individual movies, because those 3 movies are kind of all the same movie to me.
Okay.
Because they're all the same arc.
It's The Final Frontier and then Undiscovered Country, right?
I have a question.
Yeah.
What does God need with a spaceship?
I don't know.
Great line. Great point of the movie. That was one of the best. I love that quote. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen that?
I think I've seen 4 through like 6. I think I've seen I think I've seen Undiscovered Country once and maybe Final Frontier once. I don't remember anything about them.
Well, Undiscovered Country, that's the one where Spock's brother comes and wants to take the Enterprise to God, or
those like 4 through 6 or 4 through 7 are kind of a blur. The generations are kind of a blur, and then like because mainly I had seen, just because I think it's when they were coming out in theaters, I saw like all of the Next Generation movies.
See, now those I'm missing a few.
I haven't seen the last one, but Nemesis. All the other ones I saw.
I never saw Nemesis.
But all the other ones I saw.
A couple in the middle, but you've never seen the TV show. That's what's weird.
But I've never seen the TV show. But I've seen the TV show for the original series, but not all the movie. That's just like.
You are a very confused man.
am, yes. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, you are.
So, all right, well, this is going to be good. Hateful
Eight. Trying to figure out which one I want to watch right now. I'm going to go watch one.
Woo! I think Good Will Hunting is on Hulu. I believe.
Okay. And Netflix has Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
And I think I'm watching Black Widow tonight.
Okay.
Can't get Alex to finish Loki. We had 2 episodes to watch together. We skipped a week. We wanted to make it into a movie type ending.
Yeah.
And after watching that 5th episode, it kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I'm getting bad. I'm not sure about Loki. I don't know.
Is that your third favorite of the shows? Or is WandaVision worse?
WandaVision, it's too smart for me.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of get it. I just don't care. It's like, all right, okay, you got all clever and weird and I don't know. I didn't really care about the characters either. I don't care about him.
Yeah.
Or her. So
I love Paul Bettany.
I don't really care. What's the other one?
The Winter Fox.
You know what? I haven't faced that because all of a sudden it just got uninteresting too.
Okay. So what you're saying is Marvel. I mean, let's be honest. The movie was called Endgame. That's it. I know we want to keep doing other phases and stuff, but that's it.
No, it's not it. You know
You had a good run. You had a decade run.
Yeah, but now they're going to reboot them. We're going to get a new. I hate when they do that. I'm just really sick of the whole Spider-Man thing, though. I'm sick of Spider-Man remakes.
I am proud to say, other than I saw the Spider-Verse, obviously, which you know I love. The last Spider-Man movie I have seen is Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire. I have seen none of the Andrew Garfield movies and none of the Tom Holland movies. There's only one Spider-Man, and his name is Tobey Maguire, damn it.
Okay. I guess that's... I'm trying to think of the... And I can't... The name's not coming to me. I was going to pull out the guy's name that did it from the 80s when I was a kid. Those TV ones. Who, you know, is one of the Von Trapp kids from Sound of Music.
I don't know.
Yeah. If you look at him, you're like, he looks familiar. Yeah, he was a Von Trapp.
Also, I don't know if you looked at the credits for Howard the Duck, if we can go back for a second. There's a picture, someone named Tim Rose. Obviously, there was a lot of little, I don't know what the correct term is now, little people. There was a lot of people. George, you know, George can't make a movie without having little people in it, because you got to have, you know, Willow and Star Wars and Howard the Duck, got to have little people in this movie for some reason. Tim Rose, when you look at his picture, it has a picture of Admiral Akbar.
I did see that.
And I was like, I'm very confused. Voice? I was like, is this a voice? Is this
the guy in the costume?
I was like, what's going on here with that black bar?
Do you know when you see in credits Checkpoint Charlie, what that person is?
No.
That is a, I'm sure, I mean, created. I have no idea if they're in the union or not. But that is the person that stands at the door of the sound studio to make sure no one has their cell phones.
That's the job I want.
Checkpoint Charlie.
Probably gets paid pretty good. It's a union job.
And probably gets told off, because I'm sure the main stars have their cell phones.
I would imagine.
I'd rather doubt. Maybe their assistant holds it off to the side, but...
That's why you work on a Christian Bale movie, because he won't put up with that shit. You just sick
don't
him.
Don't make any sounds off camera.
Christian, he's got a cell phone. I told him not to bring it.
What a tirade that was. Wow, yeah. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Second time I watched it, I felt kind of bad. I felt kind of like, oh, this guy was really douchey. But
he was in the character.
First time, it was hilarious.
Don't mess with John Connor.
No, sir.
All right, well, I'm going to go figure out some time to watch this 7 hours worth of movies I'm sure we're about to watch.
247, come on, that's not bad.
Yeah, well...
You just have to not watch all your little silly comics, your little silly Star Wars cartoons, or you won't be able to, you know, you'd be all right.
All right, I'll find some time.
And it's family friendly, so you can let the daughter watch.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Quit daring to do that. What could be wrong?
Yeah.
She can learn some new words.
Ooh.
So it's good for her vocabulary.
That's right. That's right. We're working on that, getting ready for school.
Yeah.
Well, we will leave on that note, and we'll see you next time on a podcast named Tim.